Only mode.
Hello, everybody. Glad to see you here at your various different times. I'm going to try and unmute you one at a time just to say hello. Let's see if I can do this. Hello, Bibby. You need to unmute yourself. Looks like you're on self-mute. There you go.
Hello, Biel.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm fine, thank you.
Am I saying?
It's nice to be here.
Always glad to have you, especially considering what time it must be for you.
Yeah, I decided to not to sleep tonight, so I've been up. I can't miss this one more time.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to have you, and I'm glad that we can hear you. So if you have any questions or anything, you can raise your hand. Okay, let's go to Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning.
Can you speak today? Good, good, you can. That's great. I'm glad that you're here with us.
Yes, thank you. Hopefully I can stay for the whole hour and a half. Thanks.
Well, that's good. Hopefully it won't take that long unless you guys have lots of good questions, and then we can maybe bring it up to 90 minutes, okay?
Okay, no worries. Thanks, BL.
Good to have you here. Hello, Murthy. Are you there?
Yeah, madam. Namaste. Good morning.
Ah, good morning. Well, okay, it's evening for me, but good morning for you guys. As a matter of fact, it's good morning for most of you. For Bibby, it's very early in the morning, her time, or very late, whichever. So good to see you here. Hi, Tracy, you there?
Hi, Theo. Hi,
Great.
Theo.
Great. We can hear you very well. We can hear all of you very well. So hopefully we can have a nice webinar here participating as we go.
Lovely.
Okay. All of you have been studying this for the last couple of months. This particular month, what we're going to concentrate on, last month we talked about some other problems, and this month we're going to talk about those that affect esoteric students and are as a result of meditation and spiritual striving can cause us problems. Slide, please, Astrid. What we need to remember is that, organic problems or accidents aside, the problems that we all face is really just one of energy. We're this very complicated energy system on multiple levels. Some of them we have control over, and some we're still learning to balance, like our emotional and our mental systems. Some we're trying to develop, like our soul energy. Added to the mix, we are impacted by various energies of everything else in our universe, from the other people who are in our sphere of influence to our country's politics. That's big stuff going on right here in this country with that. To the energies that are streaming in from the other planets in our solar system and beyond. So it's the relation or non-relation of forces, the clashing of these energies, and our inability to handle some of this inpouring forces that can have a destabilizing effect on us until we learn to control our energy systems. I love this slide that Leonie, all those different systems trying to work together. Let's stop for a minute here because I want to say hi to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Can you hear us?
Oh, hi.
Hey, good. We can hear you good too. That's great. Everybody, we can hear great this evening. So if you guys have questions, just raise your hand, okay? All right. Next slide, please, Astrid. So last month we talked about the three major groups of psychology problems that you see over here for on most of the screen: cleavage, integration, and overstimulation, and how they affect all humanity, normal humanity. These are problems of consciousness development, and they can be traced as the root causes of all psychological disorders. We need to understand their dangers to ourselves as well as be able to recognize them in other people. Next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, today this is what we're going to be covering. Problems of people who are living a spiritual life and have therefore accelerated their consciousness development. It's like anything else. As we expand any skill set that we have, as we learn any new thing, we've got this learning curve. We have to learn to be receptive to these new energies, and we have to learn to transfer them effectively from one center to a previously dormant higher center. We're not going to be perfect at it right from the beginning. We're going to stumble and falter until we learn to properly manage the flow of this new energy, to direct it properly, and to use it effectively. So like we saw last month, there's a host of problems that we can encounter until we're able to stabilize the process of these energy swings, divisions, and overstimulation that are going to be unique to mystics and disciples who are on the spiritual path. Next slide, please, Astrid. As we've talked about before, ordinary man is ruled primarily by his lower cravings and desires for food, sex, and comfort. He lives mainly in the three lower chakras that we see here. The base governing the physical body, the sacral governing desire and sex, and the solar plexus that governs the emotions. Next slide, please, Astrid. Once we begin to follow a spiritual path, the energy wells up and it expands in these lower chakras. The first transference occurs between the sacral center to the throat. The second transference, the solar plexus transfers to the opening heart center. And the third transfer is the base to the crown. Next bullet, please, Astrid. This is an ordered transference where the energy from the lower chakras transfers to the higher, and it's one of our evolutionary goals to actually work through these higher chakras. Next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, let's look at these transferences in a little bit more detail here. The first transference, the sacral to the throat, happens about the first initiation. The spiritual path beckons to us, and the aspirant cleans up their sex life. This is a difficult time lasting several lifetimes, and the energy fluctuates back and forth. Astrid, next bullet, please. Health problems can happen during this time in three different chakras. The sacral and throat, naturally, because they're the ones involved, but also the ajna, because it's the directing agent. Health problems can be found in the reproductive organs, throat, and nervous systems as a result. The throat center is one of creativity, and it needs to be expressed some way through writing or speech or other creative activities. Repression of the sexual nature can actually lead us to cancer. And as we continue to purify our lower appetites, then we gain control and we can take that first initiation. The physical plane appetites can then be controlled, and we now focus on the next step ahead, which is our emotional life. Astrid, next slide, please. The second transference is the solar plexus to the heart as we purify our astral nature. We're becoming more powerful and creative, we're evolving, and we actually develop group consciousness as that heart center awakens. although we still have primarily selfish motives, you know, what can the group do for me and how does it fit into my plans? Astrid, next bullet, please. With the astral nature, it's always going to be a battle between opposites, right and wrong, material world or spiritual world, selfish choices or selfless choices. You know, the list goes on and on. This kind of fluctuation can create health issues in the region of these two chakras. In other words, the digestive organs, the heart circulation system. Diseases like stomach ulcers, pancreatic or liver cancer, and heart disease may occur. Astrid, next bullet, please. And the next. I guess I talked ahead. Gradually, the soul is going to assume control of the desire nature, and an inner peace can be achieved then. Personal desires gradually diminish. The battle between the opposites is won, and the person is then ready for the second initiation. Next slide, please, Astrid. Then there's the transference from the base to the crown. And this happens when the soul has infused the personality at the third initiation. Kundalini then rises from the base to the crown, and it creates this open flow between all of the chakras then. Karma has been exhausted at this point, and the soul is now in complete control. The etheric system is harmonious and stable. Astrid, next bullet, please. Health is now dramatically improved. However, that isn't going to stop the normal aging process. So in old age, we're all going to be susceptible to any diseases. Next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, so what are the therapies for these issues here? First and foremost, don't brood on the physical condition or the region of the transference. That's only going to stimulate it more. You got to take your mind away from it. And don't try any unnatural methods. Spiritual discipline, right detachment, meditation, selflessness, harmlessness, and service, all of those are going to help stabilize this fluctuating energies because those are right actions. Esoteric healing and chakra balancing may also help, but only with people who are trained in this particular area. Okay, before we move on, does anybody have any question about these three transferences and what can happen with them? No? Okay. Next slide, please, Astrid.
Hey, Neil, before you leave this, a comment that you might want to address. There are a lot of people around where I live who claim that they can open chakras, move the energy in chakras, and quite frankly, I don't believe any of it, and I do think there's a lot of danger in someone trying to do that. What's your thoughts?
I think that's a very good point to make, and it is a point that I've made last year when I talked about the etheric body and we first introduced this. Trying to artificially do this can absolutely burn your body. Your body has to be naturally prepared for these energy transfers. You have to have developed the higher chakras enough to where they're awakened and can handle this energy. And if you try and do it artificially, if you try and do it in the wrong order, you can cause absolutely serious damage, especially this artificial raising of the kundalini. That's one of the most dangerous things because your body has to be prepared. It's like taking a scalding pot of water and trying to make a cup of tea in a really thin plastic container that it is just going to melt when the water comes into it. You know, you have to be prepared for this flow of energy. And that's only done through slow and correct spiritual discipline, detachment, meditation, you know, harmlessness, the commandments, following the commandments, living that spiritual life, and self-forgetfulness. It's, you know, it's all part and parcel of the slow way to do it. But I don't trust any of these people who promise you a quick fix. Now, that said, there are esoteric healers, and there are good ones, but they know what they're doing. They know the proper way to, they have the capability of seeing your energetic system, of seeing where the blockages and congestions are, of seeing where the problems are that need to be dealt with. You know, it's just like a good masseuse, a good Reiki master, a good master of reflexology, a trained medical professional in whatever avenue they use. They know how to recognize the signs of where the disease is, where the problem is, where the blockage is, and they're trained in dealing with it properly, and most of them are doing that from the soul level. They are not doing it from a personality level. They're not doing it from a point of glamour that could cause more damage than it could cause good. So I hope that emphasizes the point that you were trying to make, Astrid. And if anybody has anything else that they would like to say on the matter.
Actually, yeah.
Okay. No, I don't see anybody else. Okay. All right. I just have to strongly caution you. Slow and steady is what wins the race. There is no fast way of opening our chakras or evolving. There's no quick fix. It's the school of hard knocks. Learn the lesson, rise above it, express the soul, and that's what gets us there. So, next slide, please. Okay. Problems of unfoldment of the psychic powers. A lot of us see this, you know. We're trained to think of lower psychism as something that's wrong for us, and it is. But what we need to do is transmute those lower animal powers into their higher correspondences that are a conscious part of using our soul. Advanced disciples and initiates have learned to do this. They can work well with the energy and the higher chakras and the higher psychic powers. In this process, they're not actually negating or suppressing their psychic powers. Rather, they're developing the higher correspondences of them so that they can then use the astral plane and the astral vehicle for soul expression at its highest caliber. It's a vehicle of ours. We shouldn't suppress it. We need to learn to use it properly. Next bullet, please. In the earlier development of man during the Atlantean age, long time ago, Atlantean stage, humanity was first able to access the astral plane through the solar plexus. And while the astral plane can actually be a mirror of the Buddhic plane, the astral plane needs to be a calm, clear surface for it to be a true mirror image. Think of an actual mirror and what a nice, clear picture we get from that. But then think of trying to get a mirror's image from a lake that has white caps on it. you can't. You can't. The image is so distorted that you can't get it. Well, that's what's happening with the astral plane. There's a lot of distortion going on there. And that's, we interpret that as best we can, but it's a distorted reality. And that's where the myriad of glamours come through, you know, all this lower psychic phenomena that humanity has built up for eons. And that is going to actually retard our spiritual progress until we learn to calm our own astral nature and to develop the higher psychic equivalent of those lower powers. Next slide, please. Okay. Let's just take a few minutes and actually look at this slide here. It's really a great slide. On the left-hand side, we can see here that our animal instincts served their purpose as we developed the five senses. And then you go down, those corresponded, the instincts, and then the senses, and then the lower psychic powers. See how they actually correspond? A to A to A, B to B to B, self-preservation to touch, to clairvoyance. Sex to hearing, to clairaudience. Herd instinct to sight, to mediumship. There is a correspondence there. They not only correspond as we go down, they also correspond as we go across. So the human self-preservation became creative self-preservation. Sex became human love. Herd instinct became group activity, gregariousness, meeting with people. Curiosity became inquiry, analysis, self-assertion. And then look how that touch and contact, hearing and sound, seeing, it put things in perspective for us. Taste allowed us to discriminate between what we liked and what we didn't like. Smell became emotional idealism. And that corresponded to our extension. We could see things through our vision. We could hear things around us. Speech, conversations, intercourse, invention, planning. And eventually, we learned, as humanity, healing through the sciences. What we're aiming for is to evolve into the divine, the immortality of knowing that it's a physical vehicle, a temporary vehicle, but that our soul, that our spirit remains. Attraction in group consciousness and the evolutionary urge to get back to the soul control, the spirit control. Our five senses got even more developed. Understanding, response to the word of God, mystical vision, intuition, spiritual discernment, those higher psychic powers that I'm talking about. Clairvoyance becomes that mystical vision, that true, clear reflection of the Buddhic. Clairaudience becomes telepathy, that mental communication between our soul group. Mediumship becomes mediatorship. We become the mentors of the group. We become the mediator from the higher kingdoms, from the hierarchy, from even Shambhala to the human kingdom. Creativity. We can actually manifest things that we need to, through our group, through our work, the work of our soul. We bring that into existence. Prevision. We know the purpose, and we eventually learn to heal through the spiritual magic that's inherent in all divine individuals. Okay, any questions before we move on from this particular slide? There's so much packed into this this little thing here, but it's a great representation of how we as human beings evolved from the animal into the existing humanity as we are today and the goal of where we're trying to go. Okay, next slide, please, Astrid. All right, so we actually had the problems a slide before that, but how do we deal with the psychic problems or advise someone who may have them? We want to use the mind, and we want to think things through as much from the soul as possible. Remember, the soul is there on the higher mental plane. So it is the mind that is going to help us. It is the soul that's going to help us get through to discern the actual reality. We need to cultivate a spirit of true humility. We need to reject the glamour that we're special or superior just because we got religion, just because we may be hearing voices, just because we think that we're more advanced spiritually than anyone else. Most of that is glamour on our part, and we need to get over ourselves. So if we cultivate that spirit of true humility, this is going to close the solar plexus center, and it's going to close the access that it grants to all those distortions from millennia that are hanging out there still on the astral plane. The true disciple working from the soul is mentally polarized and therefore free from the delusions and reactions of the solar plexus and the astral plane. Next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, more problems. Mystical vision is the process of sensing the goal. We're going to contact that ideal and vision the many symbols that are going to veil the soul. Okay, the mystical approach is actually the right way for many of us. We actually have to develop that compassion and the divine aspiration of the mystic. But like anything else, we have to be careful because this can also open us up to hallucinations and fanaticism. Astrid? There we go. So the problems involve devitalization of ourselves, delusions, and delirium. That devitalization occurs when we live in our own private little idealized world and we're not being grounded or practical. You know, I'm spiritual and therefore I can't deal with regular life. Delusion is when we make a mistake, when we mistake a vision or a dream. You know, we blow it way out of proportion. Delirium is where our emotional imaginings actually interfere with our ability to think rationally. And in extreme cases, this can manifest as schizophrenia, paranoia, disassociation, or even possession. Scary things there. Next slide, please, Astrid. So, recommended therapy for this kind of problem is to create doubt in the mystic. Something that's going to offset their isolation and devotion that is actually leading them to be this unbalanced mystic. We want to encourage a normal physical life, outside interests, and the importance of fulfilling their normal obligations and responsibilities. You know, DK tells us over and over again, we're put in the work situation, we're put in the family situation, because of the work that we're supposed to be doing with these people. You know, you can't just say, oh, I'm a mystic today, and put everything else aside. Next bullet, please. And for those where it's gone so far that we have the extreme cases of the schizophrenia or delirium, you have to try and be as practical as possible with these people. But the bottom line is it's probably going to take a new incarnation to rid them of the problem. Sometimes the damage is just is too far gone. So do what you can to ground the person, help them with constructive service. And that's about all we can do at this point. Any questions before we move on? Okay, next slide, please, Astrid. Next are the diseases that are connected with group thought. And first and foremost is the problem of criticism. Poisonous thoughts, untruths, even misperceptions, destructive gossip, jealousy, frustrated ambitions, and a host of other personality things like this can and do derail group activity. You know, all good intentions can be destroyed in an instant if any of this activity happens. And if it continues, it can actually fester and grow so far out of proportion that it can literally kill the leader and impede the group progress so much that it fails entirely. Criticism damages everyone. The criticizer, the target, and all the innocent bystanders as well. Just as one selfless, non-critical person working from soul levels can actually swing a group into activity, so can one ambitious, disloyal, critical person working for selfish means just completely destroy the group. I mean, I can't emphasize this enough, and DK talks about it happening in the Dyna books. Something so simple, yet so poisonous. Next slide, please, Astrid. The reverse can also occur, where the devotion and the personality love of the group can actually drain the life out of the leader or smother him or her. Group dynamics, like anything else, must be healthy, organized, and detached. Next slide, please, Astrid. So, therapy in these circumstances is to practice the art of silence of thought, speech, and deed. Harmlessness is the keynote always. Each time we think a negative thought, we put that thought form out there. And enough of them built up over years and lifetimes actually form our own little prison. So we have to cultivate this harmlessness in thought, words, and actions. We have to learn to preserve that inner silence that promotes holiness. Next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, well, I guess I need to talk about this slide for half an hour, don't I? I don't have any questions here. We've talked about the four problems that are encountered by mystics and disciples, specifically because they're living a spiritual life and they're unfolding their higher spiritual powers, those psychic powers. We can and do have energy problems as our higher centers are awakened and the imbalance of energy that causes. We can have issues with lack of discrimination as we develop our mystical and psychic problems and learning to work within groups, which is the heart of soul work. all of these bring a number of problems to us. So understanding these underlying causes helps us put it all in perspective and understand ourselves better. Okay, guys, anybody have any questions here? Comments? Have you found that these webinars augment your study material very well and the lessons that you're working on? Yes, Tracy.
I just wanted to say that I found them very helpful in understanding whereabouts I have challenges on the path, and it certainly inspires me to want to help people more with these kinds of challenges as well, as I began to understand the process better in myself.
Thank you. You know, being oblivious, we look at certain people and the way they act and we think, how can they act like that? But when you understand some of this, doesn't that change your perspective on how other people can act?
Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah, it just makes you more aware of the challenges being a universal thing rather than perhaps just yourself going through it, or, you know, looking at someone else and thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on there? You begin to see a bigger picture of us all going through these challenges together.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's very good. And that's obviously what we're trying to do here. We're trying to bring this to your attention. Also, you guys studying this material, you are on the spiritual path. So these are the kind of things that you are going to encounter. And we want to prepare you for them as you get ready to enter Quest Universal and have even more intense meditations and study and whatnot. So thank you, Tracy. I appreciate that. Anybody else have any comment or question?
I can share something.
Please, Astrid, go ahead.
My partner and I run a goodwill center here in Cambrian Mountain in Southeast Queensland. We recently had one lady in the group who was criticizing, spiteful, correcting, and doing it all behind backs. I picked up the energy before David did. I got to the stage where I didn't want to do it anymore, and I couldn't understand why. I then got very depressed, and I couldn't understand why. So I went to Leonie, whom you all know, and we discussed it and worked it through and did this lady's chart as relationship to my chart and discovered that was where it was coming from. And after our weekly meetings, the three women in the group were having lunch, and that's where this criticism was happening. And I have put it down to jealousy on her part, because she felt she knew more than me, so she should be running the group. Interestingly enough, she got very sick, was hospitalized, she had heart problems, and now she no longer comes to the group. She, and this is the interesting part, she dropped out of the group on the day of the first eclipse in March. So I thought that was very, very significant.
Thank you for sharing that, Astrid. And that highlights so many points. You know, it was perfect example of what we were talking about on slide 16 with the group thought and the criticism. And the fact that it injured everybody. It disrupted the group. It made you you were having nervous problems and depression because it was aimed at you, but it also hospitalized the individual who was directing the criticism. You know, so it nobody wins in that kind of situation. And the other point that it really highlights is the energy that comes to us from eclipses, from these other planets, you know, from the alignment. Just as we sit in meditation, you know, spine erect, raising our energies up to our soul, building that antakarana, building that alignment. That's what happens during an eclipse. You know, it's at a full or new moon. It's the perfect alignment of the sun, the earth, and the moon. And to such a degree that it actually does form the eclipse. So it's these energy systems that impact us all around. And everybody says, well, how can what she said over there make you ill? It can. We're all in this, we're all atoms. We're all part of this living being we call a solar system. The planets are that living being's chakras. So these alignments impact the life in whose being we live. And we are developing. The higher we go, the more we aspire towards the spiritual life. We are developing more power, more psychic powers, and our thought forms are real things. So it is very important that we understand how this energy can, how dynamic it can be, like Astrid was talking about. So thank you very much for sharing that. I'm sure many of you can relate to circumstances like that, where criticism has, you know, criticism in the workplace or criticism in a family dynamics. I don't know how your family is, but my family's pretty darn dysfunctional. And you get all of us together at some big family gaggle, and there's all kinds of little fights that break out. And they all impact everybody in the family. It's the same kind of dynamics going on here. Any other?
The sad thing is the perpetrators don't realize what they're doing.
No, they don't. They don't. They can be completely oblivious.
Yes. It's their ego is the problem.
And it falls on us, those of us who are a little bit more spiritually discerning, remembering that we're really humble at it, though, right? It falls on us, though, to stand back, to try and rise above the personality aspect of it and view it from the soul's perspective. That's the only way we're going to get a fairly decent, clear view. We have got to remain detached as we can from the situation, or get ourselves out of it as best we can. Otherwise, we develop those diseases, the heart disease, the cancer, because it just festers. Yes. Please go ahead, Tracy.
Hi, Bill. I just have a question about people who seem to be in the world doing discipleship-type work and helping humanity through government, for example, or the United Nations work, who say they're agnostics, just trying to understand sort of where they are on the path if they're not living an obvious spiritual life, but they're doing a lot of good for people, for the world.
Well, I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive. Just because they're agnostic doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have a spiritual life. The fact that they're doing good, that they're advocating things that the United Nations advocate, that they're trying to help people, that says a heck of a lot more about what their status is as a disciple than someone who is an active preacher of a church who is hate-mongering. You know, the Islamic groups, the extremist groups who, in the name of their religion, whom I am told by clerics of their religion that is a perversion of the teachings, you know, they think they're very spiritual, but they're doing harm. They're suppressing other people, and they're perpetrating these crimes against humanity. So we've got it on both sides here. To me, it's more about the pureness of our heart and our motives, the selflessness of our motives, the good that we're doing to help raise other people above and beyond. Without that outward churchy entity, if you understand what I mean by it. Some people, and I think I'm one of them, absolutely had to have a non-church-going environment. Mine was forced by my mother. She was raised a staunch Catholic, and she rebelled against it. So she wanted us children not to have any religion, so we could decide on our own and make up our mind. But what she taught us was to respect all people, to love all people, to treat everybody with the respect that we would want done. So while she wasn't a go-to-church-every-Sunday kind of a person, in her own way she was very spiritual. Okay, so that to me is the way I justify it. And sometimes we need that. We need, I think, because I have a race-six personality, that if I had been raised in a church, I would have been so devoted and, you know, I would have drank the Kool-Aid at whatever church I was at. But because I wasn't, I am now open, because my mother raised me to be open to all religions. My mother raised me that all paths lead to God, but I don't have a set dogma that takes me there.
Could it be true as, sorry, Bea.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah. Could it be true to say as well that if someone wasn't, didn't feel like meditation was the right path for them, but they were quite intuitive and insightful, that they were still on a spiritual path?
I would say that's true too. There are a lot of people who are doing good in the world, but they're focusing on what they need to focus on. And I think their work, their lasting legacy to the world, will speak to itself. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you, Bea.
Please go ahead, Brenda.
Just on that, I'm currently doing William Meter, Death and Interlude Between Two Activities. He has a lot of little workshops that he then tapes, and I look at them. I think he's fantastic. He's so simple and plain. But he talks about, just on Tracy's point, he talks about things like Buddhism as a transition form when a soul gets into a rut, and then they become too too religious and too and can't get themselves out. And they say, he says you know, that the soul has come into a rut because he's not using the higher mind, and could incarnate as an atheist or agnostic just to bring balance to the soul. So there's a whole lot of, there's a whole level of stuff that we need to put into the whole picture. It's so holistic, isn't it?
Right, right. Thank you. That's a very good point. Sure. It's, as you say, there, you know, we don't get it right in one life. We have to have multiple lifetimes. And so, yes, there has to be some way to get us out of some of these ruts that we can get ourselves into. So that's a very good way of putting it. Any other comments or questions? Well, thank you, guys. We didn't last all that long, but I think we got a lot accomplished. This is a very deep subject, and we've talked about it for 2 months now. You guys have your work cut out for you with the psychological case files that you have. So I'm going to call it quits for tonight, unless you have any more questions. I want to thank you all for your participation. And our next webinar is going to be on 27 May. And at that time, we're going to begin our study on esoteric analysis. The next two modules will be on esoteric analysis. Nope, no more questions or comments. Okay, then, let me unmute everybody really quick to say goodbye. Good night, good day, good morning, as the case may be.
Thanks for you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.